Good morning, New Hope family. This is our first attempt at the meeting with you via the internet and social media and whatnot. We just want to let you know that if you are having difficulties hearing us, let us know, and we can turn up the volume and so you can. That being said, we're going to get started. We are going to be strolling through some verses to help refocus. We need to refocus our energy from the unrest that we may feel and direct our hearts and minds towards the God of mercy and comfort. The title today is Fear Not, Take Heart. We also need to be comforted. These are the three things that we're going to be focusing on today. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. We're going to follow that immediately with Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Two great verses to start with. And I ask, what could I possibly say to you today based on these two scriptures that would help exchange detrimental emotions for God's peace? I mean, I could say many things, but I will keep it short and productive. First, we need to memorize them. There's a need to personalize them and recite them back to our Heavenly Father in thoughtful prayer. Some of the most powerful prayers are God's own words prayed back to Him. We need to remember today, if you would please, God is not the source of anxiety and fear. Now, if you received Donella's email earlier this week, she reminded us of this very same verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. I want to remind us today that you cannot tell anyone that what they're feeling is wrong. There is no right and wrong to a feeling. There should be no shame or embarrassment for feeling fear, but we should not let fear set up camp. The right and wrong of a feeling is when we act on feelings alone. Everyone experiences fear. It is what we allow it to accomplish that determines who we are and whom we belong. Fear decisions, as Pastor Jim mentioned earlier, I think it was last week, fear decisions are bad decisions. If we were to look in Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, it says, let your gentleness, calm demeanor, be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. See, fear is an assault on our hearts and brings confusion to our minds. God, as we know, is not the source of fear and anxiety. That is our enemy's persuasion. I would say, if fear and anxiety had a scent, it would smell like sulfur. God is the God of peace. His desire is to give us power over worry as we count on His love and put our trust in Him. Trust trumps worry. Period. We must ask Him to answer our worry, and we combat being afraid by knowledge. Know his powerful word and remember, he is good, he is God, and he is faithful. He is also our help in every circumstance. His peace will guard our hearts and our minds. He wants us to take our concerns to him. So, take your concerns to him. In Philippians 4:6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Sometimes we take our worries everywhere except to God. We talk to neighbors, we talk to coworkers, we put it on display in social media, and we hear people say, "God's got this." But how often do we live like we believe that? We try to fix it ourselves. We lose sleep over it. Appetites are lost because of it. But we believe God is in control, right? Know this. We can be assured that God hears us when we bring our concerns to him. Be patient. God does not say, "How high?" when we say, "Jump." If you pay attention, you will see God moving in the right here and the right now. God wants to bring clarity and soundness of mind. We have a need to engage him in this conversation. Take it to him. Listen to what he puts on your heart. I must throw in the caveat that we need to verify whom we're hearing from. We qualify that simply, "It works for me this way." If it glorifies God, then you're hearing from God. If it glorifies anyone else, then that is not God. See, we like to discuss things. Well, there is no discussion. We leave all anxious thoughts with him. We must give up our ownership and give it over to him who has the power to do something about it. Stop trying to lead. No one likes their toes stepped on. If you lead, God won't fight over the control. If you follow, God will lead. If we look in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." We are not to hold on to the concerns because we care so much. We are to let them go and give it all to him because he cares so much. In the 55th Psalm, verse 22, it says, "Cast your burdens on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." Another translation, I believe it's the NIV, says he will not permit the righteous to be shaken. There are times when we feel a great weight of fears and worries when we focus on the situations rather than our Savior. The one who has power in your life is the one you surrender to. Now, I liken it to, I love mind pictures, so if you were to imagine back in the medieval times, with lords and knights and kings and castles and fair maidens and all that. Nice backdrop. But there were kings and lords of the land back then. They owned huge sections of land. They built castles with high walls and drawbridges. Some had moats. You know what it looks like. We've seen movies and whatnot. Now, everyone that were working the land, making their living off of the land, were subjects to the king or the lord. And when marauders came, then they were all to come to the castle and they were all kept safely within the walls as the drawbridge was lifted. They were his subjects. The one who owned the castle and the land. He provided a means for sustaining life and for protection. And the reason I bring this up, because I always was marveled at they were called his subject. And we are subject to something. who you are a subject to is your master. So who is your Lord? The circumstance or Christ? You are owned by that whom you surrender to. Just a nice backdrop, I think, to remember, who are we going to serve, our circumstance or our Lord? We need to remember that our Lord understands the temptation to fear and worry. We also need to remind ourselves that he can handle it. He understands. That doesn't mean he accepts it or he endorses it. But he loves us so much. We are loved so much by him, he died to empower us to overcome. And we are more than just conquerors. We can come to him in full confidence, giving over all our cares, knowing this. He loved us on the cross. He still loves us. And he will always and forever love us. He will sustain us through his love and not allow us to be shaken. In him we stand. We stand tall like timber, immovable in him. We need to learn to count on God's presence. We can draw comfort and strength from the words God spoke to Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, one of my favorites, it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Now, you may not be Joshua, but it is our God speaking. And these words are for our comfort and our encouragement as well. God has not changed. He hasn't changed jobs, and his address is the same. Though we may feel afraid in tough trials, a bit overwhelmed and discouraged when facing uncertainties, weary temptations, or any attempt of the enemy to defeat us, remember, this is not what God has for us, and our victory comes from him. Our enemy wants us to believe that we fight our battles alone. We are never alone. You know, I love that song we've been singing quite frequently, Surrounded. You know, it may look like I'm surrounded. I'm not going to sing it, so I'm not going to torture anybody. It says, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And this is how I fight my battles. See, God's word is clear. Be strong and courageous in him. We count on his presence. This is how we fight our battles. We can rely on the power of his provision and the power of his presence, okay? Then we have to consider, we cannot afford to borrow future worries. Don't borrow worry from tomorrow. In Matthew 6:34, it says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Some tend to be worry warts, fussing about all kinds of things that don't need to be fussed about, to stew over things yet to come. I just want to say that's just pure foolishness. Jesus' words are clear on this. We are never to worry about the could-be or would-be of tomorrow. He hasn't given the grace to bear up under tomorrow's concerns until we get in tomorrow. We are to invest our efforts in faith within the day which we currently reside. We are to look for his hand working on our behalf today, trusting in him for our tomorrow. Amen? Good. We can now seek peace beyond the circumstance. In John 16:33, it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. Take heart. I have overcome the world." Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He came to give us peace, and the world cannot give anything that resembles his peace. Our peace comes from the freedom we have in him. His peace guards our hearts, and his peace guards our minds. Don't be fooled. Trouble in this world cannot be avoided. We will face difficulties in finances, relationships, health crisis, and many other fearful things. The Word of God says to take heart and be encouraged. For Jesus has overcome the world and everything in it. That includes all things that may discourage us or try to defeat us. We are to let God's peace rule. That focus is not on the external things, just saying, the rule of God of peace in us. In Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Where the head goes, the body follows. I learned that in wrestling a long time ago. Is your mind stayed? Is it fixed? Is your mind locked on God? He is the Lord of your life. And just saying he has the right to rule all we think, all we believe, and all we do. He leads us from the thoughts and emotions that fuel the fires of unreasonable fears. So what is unreasonable? Well, running around like Henny Penny, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. That's unreasonable. Unless actually the sky is falling, but in Henny Penny's case, it was not. He will lead us in the understanding and thankfulness for the circumstances that send us running to him, focusing on him, and to abide in him. Do you realize that not all circumstances are bad? They may look bad. They may change our lives. We may have new normal. But just consider, if you will, that may be the upside, the very reason you are in the circumstance, so that you will look to him. There is never a need to live with fear and anxiousness. He is in control. You got it? Okay, then. We understand that God will also comfort. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, mercies, and the God of all comfort. This verse opens with praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I just wanted to point out that praise has to do with worship and adoration of God. Sometimes I think we overlook that a little bit. Paul brings out two of God's wonderful mercies in this verse. First, he says that God is the Father of compassion or mercies. Whatever that compassion or mercy need is, God is the Father of it. It may show up in numerous ways, shapes, sizes, ages. Doesn't matter. God sent it. All we have and all we are is by the compassion of God through his mercy. All you are and all you have is a testament to the compassion of God. Meditate on that for a minute. We can't earn compassion or mercy. We don't deserve it either. If we did, then it isn't goodness, then it isn't compassion, and it isn't mercy. It is given to those in need. It is a mercy, the very thing needed that God gives. Secondly, Paul also said that God is the God of all comfort. God can comfort his child in and every circumstance of life. God can meet every need and quiet every heart. He is the God of all comfort. Look again at verse 3. And then we'll continue through verse 4. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. He is the God of all comfort. Paul found this to be true, but you and I today need to know whether it is authentic or counterfeit. Paul clarifies a bit about comfort as we continue to read. Same chapter, picking up in verse 5. It says, "For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life." The word used here in these verses is from parakaleo. Kaleo means to call, and para means to the side of. It is someone who is called to the side of another. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter, the Paraclete. The disciples got upset, if you remember, when Jesus had told them that he would have to leave them. And in John 14:16, he said this, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide in you forever." And also in verse 18, it says, "I will not leave you orphans." We are the children of God. We are not orphaned. We are adopted into God's household as his own. And we will not be left as orphans. Jesus said that the Comforter would be sent, the Paraclete, someone to be at our side, a helper, a strengthener, an advocate. A Comforter comes to alleviate the grief, calm the fears, to help in time of fearful troubles. That is a Comforter. As we see in Psalm 30, in the 10th verse, it says, "Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper." The psalmist shows us by his own crying out to God, not only where mercy is found, but also the understanding of whom is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. There is comfort gained in the understanding, the comfort of knowing to whom you may turn, the comfort of knowing the one who ultimately gives comfort. Paul is making a true statement here about God. He is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. So be comforted today. There are a couple questions that I had to ask myself. What is the need today? What areas do we need help in? Now, you surely can think of several faster than I can even finish asking the question. I'm only going to touch on two today. First, we need a deliverer. This is the most desperate need of all. In Proverbs 20, verse 9, it says, "Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure of all sin? When God would look down on me before I surrender to him, he would have to say, Larry, you are guilty. And I was. I am sure glad that he sent me a helper. I thank God my earned place was exchanged. My wages of sin were paid in full. So today I can say, blessed are you, Lord, my comforter, my helper. We need the assurance of God's presence in all circumstances of life. This is also a great area of need right now. The world is in need of someone to come into the loneliness that engulfs us during desperate times of life. See, I can't help myself but turn this outwardly instead of always being inwardly focused. Christianity is not a theory. It's something that we don't just put on for church service or special occasions. Remember what Paul said, who comforts us in our troubles that we may be able to comfort them who are in any trouble by the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted of God. This is not an exposition on Christian theory. Paul is pulling from his own experience. As we remember, we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to read verses 8 through 10 again. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Then continuing on, indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver. Paul said he had the sentence of death upon him. That is dark imagery painted by worldly perspective. But Paul did not relent to such dark imagery, for he had the same hope that we now have, the hope that is in God through Christ Jesus. Through God, he was able to see through death and was able to embrace hope. Verse 10 again, he has delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver. Paul was comforted. He said that he was delivered. He said that God is delivering him right now and that his trust is in God, that he will deliver in the future. Make note that Paul, by sharing his faith, by sharing his hope, and by sharing his security in Christ, he was comforting those around him. His testimony is our comfort as well. We should be encouraged. This is one of the great principles of Christian faith, to comfort them who are in any trouble. God does not give a single thing for selfish use. He gives it to us to share with others for his glory. Amen? In closing, if you are listening today and have not received Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, I encourage you to do so now. If you would, please repeat this simple prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I know I have sinned against you and that has caused a separation between us. I ask for you to forgive me and for you to come into my life as my Lord and Savior. I want to know you personally. I surrender to you all that I am and to your plan and purpose for my life. I am thankful for the price that was paid for me and for the future that I have in you. In your holy name, we pray. Amen. So for those of you that prayed with me, or those that have already committed their lives to Christ, you have received the deliverer. Now let us embrace the assurance of God's presence, his comfort, his authority, and his purpose. by continuing to seek his face, being dedicated to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Amen.